Hi, this is Scott Roche, author of the podcast novel Archangel, and host at the blog spiritualtramp.com. And I'm telling you that because I'm dropping this in multiple feeds, and there's a chance that you might find this in somebody else's feed. So I just wanted to identify who I am. And what this is all about, this is about criticism, specifically of podcast novels and podcasts. I started an interesting conversation on Twitter, and by the way, if you're following, if you're listening to this and you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm Spiritual Tramp over there. So back on the 4th of February, I started an interesting Twitter conversation. I said, generally speaking, I only hear people say positive things about podcast novels in this space, that being on Twitter. Is that a case of if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing? And I asked that question, you know, because I'm a podcast novelist and I've been on Twitter for quite some time, and that's, you know, it's exactly what I've seen, and I believe in sort of calling things as I see them. And I think that criticism is good, and I think that saying nice things is also good. But if all I see are nice things, that can be a problem. And so I wanted to kind of run over some things and you know, start this conversation, carry it to the next level, if you will. And so that's what I am about to do. The feedback that I got was, as far as people not critiquing on Twitter or in the public stream in some fashion beyond blogs or other podcasts, came down to a few things. It's free, so why bother? I don't want to come across as mean. I'm afraid I might hurt feelings. It might damage the community. I'm too close to the community. There might be a backlash. Who has the time to listen to something that you don't like long enough to offer a critique? Or I'm not qualified. And I understand most of these, and I actually, some of these apply even to myself. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts for the last couple of years, and, you know, certainly I understand who has time to listen to something that you don't like long enough to offer a critique, because I think you do need to have a representative sample of something before you can critique it. I'm not one that's going to read a book halfway through and then write a critique. But at the same time, I think you can offer the podcaster, you know, why you stopped listening. You know, I don't know that you owe that to them, but, you know, it's something worth pursuing. Podcasting is a hobby, and as hobbyists, you know, if people don't like what we put out there, it would be kind of nice to know why they don't like it, and what we could do to make it better. I do want to clarify something. I'm certainly not saying that if something's just simply not your cup of tea, that you have to, you know, send an email or leave a voicemail for every podcaster that you listen to that you find something that's not your cup of tea. But if there's a quality issue, if the sound quality is bad, or if the writing itself is bad, I think it can be a help to the podcaster. You know, personally, I want to get better. I want to improve both in sound quality and in story quality. And thanks to some feedback that I've received over the last couple of years, I think I've accomplished that. I think I've gotten better. And if it weren't for that, you know, I'd still be, you know, I might get better. I might get better anyway, just by virtue of my desire to improve. But I might not necessarily catch every detail of, you know, what I'm doing wrong, because I'm too close to it. And that too close thing, I get that I'm too close to the community. It might damage the community. Podcasting is very much a community. Twitter is very much a community. And I can understand not wanting to break that. But I've made the point that if the community is really a community, if we're really friends here, then we should be able to take some criticism. And again, I want to make it clear that by criticism, I don't mean just flame jobs. I don't mean just nitpicking. I don't mean, you know, breaking something down and tearing it apart just for the sake of breaking it down and tearing it apart. Ultimately, we want to improve the product that's out there. And I think that thanks to the good products that are out there, there have been some podcasters that have achieved a great deal of success, success that they might not have achieved without podcasting. And I don't think I have to name any names here, but I mean, I will, I guess, you know, Hutchins and Sigler for two, not to mention, you know, Murr and people now who are starting to get book deals like, you know, Nathan Lowell and P.T. Holyfield, you know, and I'm sure I'm leaving some people out. And if I am leaving you out, I'm sorry, can't get everybody. But, you know, thanks to the good stuff that is out there and the feedback that they've probably gotten quietly, they have improved. So before I get more into why public, you know, why throw it out there, I want to go into some feedback that I got on Twitter and in other places and maybe go into a little in-depth on these. And most of this I'm throwing out there for you to think about and talk about. I may not have answers to all these questions, but this is a conversation. It's an ongoing conversation, and this is just one piece of it. I follow a woman named Meredith, aka Brain Douche, who on Twitter, who, if you're not following her, you should, especially if you're into quirky humor and really interesting takes on things, in addition to some really interesting podcasting. And she gave four reasons as to why this public criticism doesn't happen. Reason number one, internet culture generally rejects content criticism due to sheer quantity, i.e. if you don't like it, don't listen, the rest of the internet is waiting. This is a common argument that I heard, and I want to address that, but let me finish her list here. Number two, microcultures are starved for their own media. When you don't have much media that reflects your life back at you, you'll be more forgiving when you do find something. And I guess what she's saying there is, you know, when you find something that really resonates with you, then you're going to be reluctant to, you know, to tear it down or to run it down. And I heard this quite a bit in different forms. That gets back to, you know, hurting the community or hurting feelings. Number three, do-it-yourself dictates that making is good, practice makes perfect, and you got to start somewhere. This makes absolute sense. Making is good. And I've said this time and time again. If you have said before, I'm going to do a podcast, and I'm just waiting until I get it right, you know, don't wait. Make, practice, do. It's going to be bad to start with, but you got to start and you'll get better. You know, I can think of a few podcasters that have come really close to hitting it out of the box, you know, just really hitting their stride with their first podcast, but it doesn't happen very often. And I think that, you know, even in those cases, those people are going to get better. So, you know, just start and go. And the fourth one is, if it's free, don't bitch. And again, if it's free, why bother? You know, you get what you pay for, and if it turns out to be good, great. And if it's bad, well, you know, you're not out much other than your time. And that gets, you know, that's something that I heard again and again. And here's my thing. It is free to you. You know, it takes me a lot of time. It takes podcasters a lot of time. We construct these things and we give them away. Why do we give them away? Well, you know, we want to build an audience. We want to, you know, part of the reason I podcast Archangel was to improve Archangel. I wanted to read it out loud, which was a pretty common piece of advice you get as a writer, is to read your stuff out loud. That naturally led to recording it and to podcasting it. So, you know, I get that it's free to you, and so you're not out anything, so you don't have a right to complain, or there's no point to complaining, or there's no point in critiquing. And I just want to say that, you know, I want to get better. If you want better content, then it makes sense to feedback into that content and say, look, this is what's great, this is what works, this is what doesn't. So even if you don't give feedback into the public stream, I think it benefits the authors that are out there to get some feedback in the private stream through voicemail or email, or, you know, most podcast novelists and podcasters have some way for you to give them feedback. And so I think that the private stream is a perfectly valid way of doing it. And let me read some Twitter feedback that I got on this. Brand Gamblin, who is a podcast novelist who did Tumblr. I'm going to try and link a lot of stuff in these show notes. So, you know, I'm not going to give links out necessarily, but definitely check the show notes wherever you got this from, and hopefully you'll find links to these podcasts and to these people. He said, you know, if there was 100 yay votes for a podcast, wouldn't you feel bad being the guy who said nay? And he said, honesty suffers where only one side is heard. And he said, email will be good, comments are okay, but if all I can get is angry criticism on Twitter, at least it's detailed. And I just want to say to people that part of the reason I'm saying public is, you know, we do need to hear both sides of this. You know, right now we're only hearing yay votes for podcasts by and large. And I think that we need to hear some nay votes for podcasts. You know, I think that there needs to be some honesty out there. I don't think it needs to be angry criticism. I don't think it needs to be shouting down or driving people away from podcasts. But I think that if we're going to put out a bunch of really positive stuff, we also need to make sure that that positive stuff includes criticism. And that's one thing that kind of bugs me. Criticism is not bad, okay? Sometimes it's not well done. Sometimes it's well-intentioned, but overly critical, overly harsh. And sometimes it's just acid and flame. And I want to reiterate, I am in no way advocating flaming or, you know, just tearing something down for the sake of tearing it down. But even the harshest critic should be heard, provided they are being harsh with a purpose, applying the axe and the scalpel, and, you know, because they have valid points to make too. So, you know, that's part of why I'm advocating for public criticism, and it's because we need a balanced, I think we need a balanced presentation of what's out there in the podcast universe. It's not all great. It's not all awesome. It's not all perfect, and it needs to get better, and it will, but only if we give people honest criticism. There are two people that I follow on Twitter that are awesome, and one is Rich Asplund, and the other one I know only as Odin One Eye, and they have great websites, which I will be linking to, where they review podcasts, and typically it's only very positive reviews, but both of them have said they will be honest, and if there's a problem, they're going to talk about that, but they're going to do it in such a way that it's not going to come across as cutting or biting. It's going to be like, this didn't work for me, but it might work for you. Well, anyway, Rich said, my goal with criticism I give is to get traffic for a podcast I've